seat if you like. Welcome again to URA Community Church. As Pastor Ron's already told you, my name's Gabe. I'm the student pastor here, and I'm so glad that you chose to hang out with us today. But I think that Ron probably should have preached today because it looks like I scared off a whole bunch of people last week. Sorry, by the way. No, we're going to have a great time today. One thing you're going to see that's different from if you were here last week, this week's going to be a little bit different setup of a message as far as a little more, it's going to be really heavy on information. We're still going to walk away with application points. We're still going to walk away with what do I do now? What can I do? What does God want to change in my life? But it's going to be a little bit heavier on information. And I can't take full credit for this. This is a message that I just came up with the series for the title and put the weeks together. But there were weeks that I actually got from Dr. David Jeremiah's book, Signs of Life. And it's a book that I'm currently reading. It's a 40-day devotional. And I just want to say that I have tons and tons of books in my office, more than I would ever read. I'm a book nerd. Everywhere I go, I love to just buy books. I'm like, ooh, that looks interesting. And then I end up reading about two or three out of every ten that I buy. But if you like to read, if you would enjoy that, my office is open. You are more than welcome anytime to walk in my office. By the bathrooms, turn left at the end of that hallway, last door on the left. You'll know there's a West Virginia Mountaineer sign over the door. That's how you know it's my office. Walk in, you are free to look at any of the books. And if you think there's anything there that would help you or help someone else, there's a little sign-out sheet on my coffee table. Sign it out, take it, keep it as long as you need to. We're here to help you. We're here to resource you as best that we can. And so for this week and next week, by the way, go ahead and make plans on coming back next week. I know next weekend is a holiday weekend. Saturday is the 4th of July, but I'm going to all but beg you, do something that people don't do a whole lot anymore, and that's make church attendance a priority. Thank you again for being here today. You made it a priority. I'm sure for a lot of people it was a struggle to get here. There's a lot of other things going on, a lot of the places that you could be, but you made today a priority being here, and I think you made a great choice because I think that God has something to say to us if we'll just listen, and that's kind of what we're unpacking today. We're going to be unpacking how to get out of our limited way of thinking, and then next week, it's just a two-week series, so next week we're going to be looking at get out of the shaker, but I want you to come back and get more information about that next week. But today we're going to be talking about getting out of our limited way of thinking. Again, I have to give credit to Dr. David Jeremiah, and you're going to see a little bit of that come out. There's going to be some alliteration and some more Baptist-style outline than we typically use here, but I think it's really going to help you if you allow it to. Does everyone in the room have somewhere, either in your purse, ladies, or on your person, you have your phone? Probably everyone has it, and you're connected to the Wi-Fi here in the room. I invite you to go to the YouVersion. There's instructions on the top of your program where you can pull up the notes for today if you want to look at that. Have you noticed that everywhere we go, it's now like expected. Wherever you go, in a restaurant, in a waiting room, wherever, the first thing, if you don't want to use up all your data on your phone, the first thing you do is you pull your phone out and you look for a Wi-Fi signal, because you want to be connected. You don't want to use up your Wi-Fi or your data. You want to be constantly connected. And by this little handheld device, isn't it just the coolest thing ever? By this little handheld device, you can literally find out anything in the world that you want to. If I want to know what the price of cheese in Germany is, I can find that out. 2-3 seconds tops, I can see what the average price of cheese is in a total other country. If I want to know anything, I can just pull it up. It's like we're constantly connected. Did you know that at the end of 2004, there were only 37.9 million U.S. homes that had DSL or broadband internet? Now, 99% of U.S. homes have access to Wi-Fi. But something I tell my kids a whole lot, tell my students a whole lot, is there's just a lot of things, y'all, that they're never going to know the struggle. You know, I tell y'all, you're never going to know the struggle. Some of the struggles that students that are kids today will never understand is the struggle of getting home from school and mom being on the phone But you want the phone line to be open because the only option that you have is to get on the internet. Y'all know where I'm coming from. Is to get on the internet whenever the landline phone isn't taken up, because you can't text your friends. You have to either call them, but mom's on the phone, or you got to get on the internet, and you got two options at that point. You can use MSN Messenger, or you can use Yahoo Messenger. Now, I was a Yahoo dude myself. I don't know about y'all. Don't hold that against me. But I was a Yahoo Messenger dude. But there's a lot of things that kids today just will never know the struggle. There are sounds that they will never hear. A lot of people, for the first time ever, is going to hear this sound today. Know where I'm coming from? Mm-hmm. Y'all are never gonna know the struggle. Mm-mm. And when it finally connected, you had to stare at a screen. And bar by bar, whatever picture you're about to look at, whatever website, y'all, come on, y'all know, it would just load, and you would stand there and you would stare, and you would try to figure out what it's gonna be before it showed up. And the whole screen would finally fill up, and now, you have a complete website, complete web page. But don't click anywhere unless you're ready to wait a few more minutes, right? Another thing that students today will never know the struggle is getting home from school and someone at school telling you to call them. A girl saying, you know, are you going to call me later? Yeah, I'm going to call you. And then sitting at home and like, all right, I'll do it. I'll do it for real this time. Okay, I'll do it. Because what if her dad answers? You don't have to worry about that no more. Because chick's got a cell phone. You don't have to worry about her daddy answering anymore. You used to have no option but to call a landline phone. Landline number. And you thought, oh my, what if her dad answers? What am I going to say? Do I call him mister? Do I just ask straightforward? Do I hang up? What do I do? Never know the struggle. Because the struggle is real, y'all. But we don't have to worry about that anymore. We don't have to sit at our computers and listen to that god-awful noise waiting for the computer to load, because we are now always connected. Say, get out. I want us to get out of our limited way of thinking today. Because I think this provides a really cool analogy of our lives and our relationship to God. Because it used to be, you would sit down at your computer, you would dial up, you would make sure the phone line was open, it would go through all that noise, and you would do what you needed to do. You would check your email, you would get on MySpace, because Facebook didn't exist yet. You would get on MySpace, you would maybe play a game or two, and then typically you paid by the minute, or like it was way more expensive, so you would get off when you were done. And you would go on about your life. And the only way that you knew how to find out what was happening in the news was to turn on Fox News or CNN or whatever. The only way, or read the newspaper. You did not have updates constantly. You logged on, did your business, logged off, and went on about your life. But now, that way of living is completely obsolete, isn't it? Because now we are constantly connected. And if you go somewhere and there's not a Wi-Fi signal, you immediately get aggravated because you think, there's something I'm going to miss out on. There's something that's going to happen, and I'm not going to be aware of it if I'm not connected and I don't know what's happening. Well, I think this is a cool way for us to look at our lives and our relationship with God. Because there's two ways of looking at our relationship with God. We can look at our relationship with God as a dial-up connection. I'm just going to check him out when I've got something to do. I'm going to check him out when I have a specific purpose for being there, instead of being constantly connected to him and afraid that we're actually going to miss out on something that God has for us if we're not constantly connected. If you have your Bibles or your phone out and you're connected to the Wi-Fi and you want to pull up YouVersion, you can turn to John chapter 10, verse 22 is where we'll be beginning. And Jesus is approached by a group of people and asked a very important question. But let's set the scene first. Jesus, in verse 22, it says, Then came the Feast of Dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking around in Solomon's colonnade. So it's winter time in Jerusalem. They're there for the Feast of Dedication that would modernly translate into the Jewish celebration of Hanukkah. So Jesus is there for Hanukkah, if you will, because Jesus was Jewish. So he's there for the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem. It was winter and he was in the temple area walking around in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, then tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." Now let's unpack this a little bit and look in what Jesus calls us, and he calls us sheep. Now by all accounts, we should be very offended by that because sheep are dumb. True story, sheep are dumb. Sheep don't know what to do by themselves. Sheep, if they are attacked, they will not fight back. They will lay down belly up every time. If an animal comes up and is about to eat them, it will not fight back, it won't run, it won't resist, it will lay there, not fend for itself, and whatever, the bears, wolves, whatever, about to eat it, and it will just give up, won't even put up a fight. Sheep can't function on their own. They have to have a shepherd. So God calls us followers of Christ. If you're a Christian, that you're called God's sheep. You're in his flock, if you will. So Jesus says, "You are my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. They know my name and they follow me." The reason this is very significant is because not only in biblical times, but even today, I've got a friend that goes to Israel about once a year. He just got back 2 days ago, called me yesterday, had a great trip in Israel. I love hearing his stories. And he told me this, even today, 2015, there are still on the hillsides of Israel and all through the Middle East, you can still find shepherds with flocks of sheep. And whenever a shepherd takes its sheep, its flock of sheep, to a common area like a watering hole where there's other flocks of sheep gathered around, you would think, well, they all look the same. How would you know which one are yours? Did you know that shepherds have a specific and unique call that they give out to their sheep? Whenever they're there, all there in a group together, that shepherd will give his specific and unique call to his sheep. And the sheep that belong to that shepherd, they're tuned into his voice, they're tuned into his call. Whenever, if they're eating or drinking or whatever, they'll perk up, look, and then go where he is because he called them and they're in tune to his voice. But what about all the other sheep? Well, that wasn't their call. That wasn't their shepherd. They didn't pay any attention whatsoever to that call for them, so they're just going on about their business. So now knowing that, let me read again what Jesus says. "I did tell you plainly, but you do not believe. The miracles that I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish." So I believe if we look at our lives, if today we're going to compare and contrast living our lives and our relationship with God as a dial-up temporary mode or being constantly connected with him, and we're going to unpack and see some really cool things that God wants to do in our lives if we know what the dangers of dial-up are and the benefits of constantly being connected. Because the truth is this, only through Jesus we can have a consistent connection to God, but we must rid our lives of limited thinking. So today I want you to get out of your limited way of thinking. So let's look at some dangers of dial-up thinking. The first danger that we see that we can miss out on is divine appointments. Now, divine just means nothing more than God-inspired, God inserting himself into everyday happenings for us. Again, there's going to be some unusual words that I use. There's a lot of things I would have changed, but I just can't say it any better than Dr. David Jeremiah. So a lot of things I just kept the same on this specific study. But divine appointments. Proverbs 16:9 says this, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." Divine appointments. How many conversations, think about this, on a daily basis and a weekly basis, how many people do you interact with? How many conversations do you have? How many people do you converse with on a daily and weekly basis? Some days it's tons of people, and some days it's just a few. This past week, I had a very rare occurrence in my life. I woke up. I made a pot of coffee. I stayed in my pajamas until supper time, when I took a shower and went right back to bed. It was awesome. So good. My car did not move. My car probably thought I completely deserted it because it's not used to staying still any day. I'm always on the go. But it was a day that I took, stayed home to read and study, and it was incredible. That day I interacted with no one. And I'm a people person. I love being around people, but it was just awesome. Y'all know the days that you're just like, I swear if one person looks at me or one person even looks like they're thinking about me, I'm just going to... It was kind of going to be one of those days for him. Like, I'm just going to stay home and do the world a favor. Stay home and study. And it was awesome. I loved it. But think about how many people you interact with on a daily or weekly basis. Conversations that you have. I believe that if we our eyes are open, if we are not living in the danger of a dial-up mode, that there are conversations that we have, people that God puts in our path that are there to help us. You know, because a lot of times we cry out to God and we say, God, I need you to fix this problem. I want you to show me something. I want you to show me what you want me to do. And then we disconnect from him and we go on about our daily lives. And all around us, there are instances that he shows himself to us, but we're oblivious to it because we're living in a dial-up mode. We're living in a mode that says, I'll be there for God when it's convenient, but then I'll disconnect from him and go on. A danger of living in a dial-up mode is we miss out on divine appointments. The next one that we can miss out on is divine directions. Exodus 13, 17, and 18 says this, "When Pharaoh let the people go, when the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, they've been there for generations, when they had been there and Pharaoh finally agreed to let them go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert toward the Red Sea." If we're living in a dial-up mode, we can miss out on divine directions. God took them another way, even though it was the long way around. That's the way he took them because he was protecting them, because he was saving them. If you've ever had to meet me somewhere, if I've ever had a meeting with you, you're expecting me to be somewhere, there's a really good chance. I hate this. It's one of my many, many faults. I hate this. I'm most likely going to be late. He knows. Staff meeting starts at 10 o'clock every Tuesday. When Gabe's around, it starts about 10:15. I don't try. It just kind of like happens. I hate when I'm late. It drives me crazy when I'm late. But it just kind of happens. And it's not even because I sleep in. I'm like always around the last minute. I'm one of those crazy people that wakes up and then I have like when I see I have an extra hour, I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I can get ahead on everything. So I go fold some laundry or I go read something or I go do something productive. And then before I realize, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm late. I'm running behind. I shouldn't have done that. And then I'm scrambling for the last minute and then I finally get there. Because I'm one of those crazy people that always has to be doing something. You know, it'll drive you crazy if you let it. Now, I'm not saying that every time you're late for something that God's saving you from something. I'm not saying that every time there's a detour in the road, literally. Have you ever been driving home and there's power lines down or there's a tree down or something's happened, there's an accident, and you've got to turn around and reroute your way back through? I'm not saying that every time that happens, that it's God ordained that he's specifically saving you from something. But what I am saying is, if we're connected to God, if we're seeing that open connection, then we realize the times that he is saving us from something. Not making an excuse for being late, I'm just saying. Have y'all heard the stories of the people that were affected by the terrorist attacks on September the 11th? All the stories that happened to the people that were so frustrated and so mad because they were late for work that day. Something happened on the way there. They got stuck in traffic. They got an unexpected phone call that they had to stop and take care of. Only later to find out the tragedy that happened. And if that little hiccup hadn't happened in their morning, they would have been in the building. I'm not saying that's that way every time. What I am saying is, when it happens, we need to be in tune and connected with God to realize when it's happening and when he's saving us from something. Because a danger of dial-up mode is not being able to see the divine directions that he gives us. So two dangers of dial-up thinking is we miss out on divine appointments, we miss out on divine directions. Another thing that we can miss out on is divine communications. Matthew 13 says this, "For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them." Sounds like I'm reading from the morning paper when it starts out and says, people's hearts have turned calloused. We can miss out on divine communications. Jesus said there that he speaks, he wants us to hear, but our ears are closed off to him. He wants us to see things, but our eyes are closed to what he's doing. He wants us to hear with our hearts, but our hearts are not in tune with him, and we can miss out on divine communications. How many times throughout the day do thoughts pop in your head like, oh, that would be cool if that could happen, or I should do this for that person, and then we quickly dismiss it? How many of those thoughts could possibly be from God? How many of those times is he trying to give us something to help someone? How many times is he trying to give us something to help someone better their situation? But too often we're not in tune to what he's saying to us. Too often we've logged off from his stuff and we went on about our lives. How many times does God try to talk to us but we don't hear? I think it's way more than we acknowledge. And I think if we're constantly connected to God, that we'll be aware of it a lot more. The last danger of dial-up thinking that we can miss out on divine opportunities. Paul wrote in Ephesians 5, he said this, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." That's nothing new. The days were evil in biblical times and they're still evil today. That's never going to change. We live in a sinful, broken, fallen world. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, that's what it's been like. There's nothing that we can do about that. What we can do about that, however, is take advantage of the opportunities that God gives us. What we can do about that is not leave people without hope, but point them directly to Jesus, because Jesus is the only hope that we have in this fallen, sinful, broken world. We can miss out on divine opportunities. Have you ever been faced with a decision to make and you had literally two clear decisions to make? You could take choice A or choice B. And option A was the logical choice. Choice A made sense physically. It made sense all around for your family. It made sense positionally. It made sense financially. Choice A was the way to go. And then God presents you with choice B, which doesn't necessarily always make sense on paper, which doesn't necessarily make sense financially for you, which doesn't necessarily make sense in our finite minds. But God says, trust me, take this road. If we're not constantly connected to God, we can miss out on that. I think back to a few years ago when I was a full-time employee at the YMCA. You can't tell by looking at me now, but I used to be employed at the YMCA. I was the youth sports coordinator for the Wilkes Family YMCA. And to date, it was the best paying job I've ever had. Even for a nonprofit, for what I needed for my expenses at the time, it was the best paying job I'd ever had. And I was able to do that because I was preaching every week. I was the campus pastor at Celebration Church at the Moravian Falls campus, and they weren't in the financial place to pay me, so God opened the doors for me to take this full-time job at the YMCA and have flexible hours so I could still preach every week and do ministry and do that, although not receiving a paycheck from it. God supplied my financial needs through this job at the Y. It was great. It was incredible how God worked that out when the position, whenever that was presented to me, and then my part-time position as the office manager went into a full-time position in the sports department. But not long after that, God began to speak to me and say, you know what? You trust me with that. Now trust me with this. Will you still trust me whenever you don't have quite as good of a paying job? Will you still trust me when all those opportunities aren't there that you're looking for financially? And I was faced with a decision to make. Choice A, keep my job, was a very clear and intellectually smart choice. Keep my job, steady income, flexible hours, good setup. Or trust God to quit my job and have no idea what doors he was about to open. Now, this isn't the case every time. I have made bad choices left and right like crazy. But in this instance, I am happy to say that I went with trusting God on this one. And I can't tell you the opportunities that opened up after that, far beyond everything that I imagined or could even take my mind to whenever I trusted him and did something that didn't necessarily make sense. But too often times, we let our intellectual due diligence trump God's input on a situation. If we're not connected to God, if we don't have that constant connection, if we don't have that always-on position with God, we can miss out on divine opportunities that he puts right in front of us. We have to get out of this limited way of thinking. Now, I just went through a whole lot of negatives with you, things that you can miss out on, things that can be a negative in your life because you miss out on it completely. You're not connected, and you're not going to have any way of getting back to that point. Well, now let's flip the coin and let's look at how our lives can be if we stay connected with God. If we have that broadband access, we have that Wi-Fi access, if you will. If we're constantly connected to God, if there's never a time that we don't have him fully at our disposal, completely in communion with him, what are the opportunities for us then? What can happen if we don't have this disconnect with God but are completely in tune with him? Well, number one, I think the benefits of staying connected to God, number one is this: gratitude. We begin to see God in a whole new perspective and a whole new light. James 1:17 says this: every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. God is the only constant. He does not change. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the only one that we can put our hope in because everything else around us changes. Culture changes, society changes, Lord help us, laws change. Everything in the world around us is going to change. But Jesus Christ, God, is the only constant in our life that we can put our hope and our stay in because he does not change like the shifting shadows. But if we begin to see life as a gift from him, well, then he can begin to do some incredible work in our lives. We begin to dismiss luck. We begin to dismiss coincidences. Because I don't believe there's any coincidental happenings when we're constantly connected with God. I don't believe anything happens by chance when God Almighty, our Creator, is in the equation. The number one benefit I think that we have to being connected to God is gratitude. Number two, latitude. I told you this is a more Baptist-style outline than we usually use. Things rhyme, things alliteration. Just work with me here. Not only do we have gratitude, but we begin to see God's latitude. Psalm 139 says this, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me." Have you ever been to a desolate place? I mean, desolate as all get out. From as far as you could see, no civilization anywhere around you. Now, I've been to some desolate places, y'all. And I'm not just talking about West Virginia. However, if push comes to shove, there's some places up in the mountains they'd never find a body. I'm just saying. Pastor's got a dark side sometimes. But have you ever been to a desolate place where it just seemed like there was no life around you whatsoever? A few years ago, I had the complete privilege and honor to travel to India and work in the slums with impoverished children, tell them about Jesus. First time they'd ever seen a white person, and I'm about as white as it gets. First time they'd ever seen a white person, a lot of them. First time they'd ever heard about Jesus. But there was this one day that I got in a van, an non-air-conditioned van in India, with a group of God love them pastors that, let me just tell y'all, that van stunk, y'all. We got in this van, and we drove for what felt like hours, days. We drove out in the country of India so far. I mean, it wasn't the end of the world, but I swear I could see it from there. It was as desolate could be. But you know what? We had a church service at this little shack, and people met Jesus that night. That verse says, "Is there anywhere that I can go from your spirit? Is there anywhere that God does not want to be readily available and connected to us? Is there anywhere that we can think of that God is not already there?" There's nowhere. But we fool ourselves a lot, don't we? I mean, there's a lot of places that we convince ourselves that we can go in our minds. And we think, if I go there in my mind, no one else is going to know about it. It's only hurting me. No one else is going to even be aware of it. It's affecting me, and it's only my mind. It's only happening to me. And that is a lie that we have been convinced of by Satan. Because even in our thoughts, there's nowhere that we can go that God is not already. There's nowhere that we can physically go that we think, well, no one will care. It won't matter. I think it's interesting if you read back whenever God called Moses to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. It's a really cool story. Go back and read. Moses wasn't even looking to be used by God necessarily. He wasn't looking for this great thing to happen. He wasn't looking for his name to be down in history. He was just kind of a regular dude almost, chilling, doing his thing. And God spoke to him and said, "I've got an incredible plan for your life. I've got something way bigger than you could ever think of or imagine. I've got something so incredible for you, it will just blow your mind." You know where God found Moses when he called him out to do that incredible work? The Bible says that God found Moses on the backside of the desert. He wasn't in a desert, y'all. I mean, that's bad enough. But God found Moses on the backside of the desert. Even there where Moses thought he was away from it all, where he could escape everything that happened back in Egypt, where he could escape his sins, escape everything of his past and start over. Even there, God found him on the backside of the desert. And I want to tell you that God wants to use you. He has an incredible plan for your life, and he wants you to be an active part of it. But we have to have our eyes open. We have to have our hearts open. We have to have our ears open to what he wants for us. A benefit of being constantly connected is God's latitude everywhere that he is. The next benefit that we see, get ready for it, is God's magnitude. Can you just imagine for a second with me how great God is? How vast that He is? Matthew 19:26 says this, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. The only one that can make a claim like that and it be true is Jesus. Anybody else that makes a claim like that is completely crazy. Don't listen to him. Jesus is the only one that could say, everything that you try to do in your own power is going to be useless. You can't do it. It is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. When we take our eyes off of ourselves and onto God, incredible things can happen. We say, you know what? In my own power, I can't do this. In my own strength, this is impossible. But when I focus on God, when I'm connected to Him, when I'm in tune with Him and let Him have the steering wheel, then it's possible. But we have to get out of our limited way of thinking and get in tune with God and get the focus off of ourselves. I had someone to tell me when I was probably 16, 17, maybe 18, you know, when I knew everything. Teenagers. When I thought I knew everything, when I was upper high school or just fresh out of high school, I had someone to set me down and kind of lay it all out for me. This is what they said. Gabe, do you realize that everything in our universe is centered around one point? Think about that for a second. Everything in our world revolves around one central point. Everything that has ever been, everything in existence, all goes around one point, and that point is not you. Changed my life. When we get the focus off of ourselves and onto the Creator, incredible things can happen. Because that's exactly what He is. He is the Creator. We are the creation. He is infinite. We are finite. Only through Jesus, only through connecting, having this constant on connection, can we experience God as the Creator and us as the creation. He greater, us lesser. Only through Jesus. Jesus is the only one that allows this to happen. See, because whenever Jesus was on the cross, paying for our sins, paying for everything past, present, and future that we could ever do in disobedience and out of line with Him, at that point, people could only access God the Father through the high priest. The high priest who stayed in the temple would take offerings, burnt offerings. Now, people could offer up sacrificial offerings to ask for forgiveness of their sins, but there were all kinds of different sacrifices, some yearly, some daily. You have to study up in the Old Testament about that. But there was yearly sacrifices that they could only go to the high priest for. And only the high priest, ordained by God, could enter into the place that was called the Holy of Holies. Then the temple was set up. You could be in the temple courts. Not only certain people could be beyond another point, but only the high priest could enter behind the veil. There was this curtain, this tall, thick curtain that separated the commonplace from the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, that's where God dwelt. The actual glory of God was in that place. That was where God dwelt. And up to that point, people couldn't access that. But when Jesus Christ was on the cross paying for our sins and He willingly gave up His spirit, the Bible says that whenever He did that, that the veil that separated man from God was torn from top to bottom. And what that signified is now we have direct access. That should excite some people. We have direct access to God the Father now. We no longer have to go through people, but we have direct access to the Father. The Bible says that we can boldly approach the throne of grace. We have the ability to stay constantly, always connected to God, but we have to take advantage of that. We no longer have to go through people, but Jesus created that way for us to go through for forgiveness of our sins. It's only through Jesus. And we can experience God's magnitude if we get our eyes off of ourselves and onto the Creator. And the last one, It'll perk up any congregation. The last one, aptitude. Psalm 119:98 says, "Your commands make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders." How much wiser and how much smarter would you be if you constantly were in conversation with a certified genius? Now, I hang out with Ron Laughlin all the time, so I'll let you interpret that one for yourself. But how much smarter, how much wiser would you be if every day your counsel, who you went to for help, was a certified genius? Do you feel like your life would be in pretty good shape at that point? How much smarter, how much wiser would we be if God was our counsel? If we were constantly connected to Him? You see, that can't happen when you log off and you go about your way. Because for a lot of us, the reason I said, please make church attendance a priority is because, sadly, this is the only place that a lot of people get anything. Because people walk in the doors, not just here, churches across the world, across our nation, across the world. People walk in the church door, they sit down, they listen to a 25, 30-minute sermon, they walk out the doors, and God is the furthest thing from their mind for the rest of the week. Even if you're one of the dedicated ones that open up your Bible every day, even then, a dangerous place for us to be is to open up and do have our daily quiet time with God. Don't let anything replace that. But have our daily quiet time with God and do our devotional. And sometimes that's a 5-10 minute deal. And then we close our devotional book or we close our Bible. And then the rest of the day, God is the furthest thing from our mind. Too many people, I fear, are living in a dial-up mode. They log on to God when it's convenient. They log on to God when they need something. Or they only log on to God when they're sitting in this building. And in the rest of the week, we miss out on so much that God has for us. We miss out on the blessings that He has for us. We miss out on the interactions that we can have with people. We miss out on the opportunities because we're not living in a constant connection mindset with God. I asked you how much smarter you think you would be if you spent time with someone way smarter than you. Did you know that we become like those with whom we constantly spend time and communicate with? We become like those with whom we constantly spend time and communicate with. I've heard it said, "Show me your friends and I'll show you your future." I believe there's a lot of truth in that statement. If we live in a constant communication, constant connection with God, I believe what God has for us will be so far beyond our imagination, so far beyond our wildest dreams. But we live in this limited thinking. And I want us to get out of that limited thinking because God has so much more for us than we are currently experiencing. On a personal level, on a family level, and as a church family level, God has so much more for us than we're currently experiencing because I believe we live in a limited thinking. And what I'm urging you today is to get out of that limited thinking. Because as vast as God is, the Bible says that He has something new for us every morning. There is something brand spanking new that God has for us every day if we'll just take advantage of experiencing it with Him. That's how vast our Creator is. We were meant to experience so much more than we currently are, but we've got to get out of our limited way of thinking. I want to urge you today to live your spiritual life in the always-on position with God. Living in the moment with Him means living in a state of spiritual awareness that you will never want to live without again. Would you bow your head with me as we go into a time of response? With heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to open up for you to respond to this. Because I know as I was reading this book by David Jeremiah, sitting on my porch, drinking a cup of coffee, God began to deal with me, and I thought, my goodness, too many times, God is a convenience. And then, Jesus is an inconvenience. And I just want us to realize what God has for us. Is there something in your life that you can change today to begin steps towards having a constant connection with God? Maybe for you today, that is beginning a relationship with Him because you've never done that before. Maybe for you today, that's accepting God's love . Maybe even that's hard for you to hear, that God loves you because you've experienced some bad stuff. And you've been down some roads that you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy. And you say, Gabe, how could God love me when I've experienced what I have? When I've been through what I have? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. I know them and they know me and they follow me. Now, beginning a relationship with God does not magically fix all your problems, but I can tell you this, you now have a shepherd to go to with those problems. You now have someone to go to. You have arms of grace to fall back on. No, things won't get all peachy. But yes, God loves you. And yes, He has an incredible plan for your life. And maybe up till now it's just been because you're not one of His children yet. And I want to invite you today to accept His love. All you have to do is confess your sin to Jesus. Say, God, I know that I've messed up. I know I've sinned. I know I've done things that were against Your word. And I want to fix that today. Jesus, I believe that You died for me. I believe You paid those sins for me. And I believe You're alive today for me. Come into my life, change me. And by Your power, help me to be in an always constant connection with You. If you prayed that or something like that today, I want you to let me know. Or Pastor Ron, you can fill that on your connection card. Check off, I accepted God's love today. Check that off on your connection card. You can drop that in the boxes on your way out. Or you can find myself, Pastor Ron, or Pastor Eddie. Hand that to us. We would love to celebrate with you. We would love to put some materials in your hands to help you with your new walk with God. And for everyone else today, you say, yeah, I've accepted God's love before, but there's just some places that I feel like I'm not in constant connection with Him. We talked about several things today, but I'm going to trust the power of the Holy Spirit to speak to you specifically on what area that is that you need to change. And I want to let you know that this altar is open, or you can pray right where you are in your seat. That God really does love you, and He really does have an incredible plan for your life, and He really does want us to change. See, that's our whole purpose, is to not leave this building the same way that we walked in, for God to change us. Jesus, thank You today for revealing Yourself once again to us, for speaking to us, for giving us the ability to come to You. Jesus, it's only through You. And we proudly proclaim that here. Jesus, it's through You. There is no other name given among men whereby we can be saved other than the name of Jesus. Speak to hearts today, Holy Spirit, as I believe You already have. And change us today in Your your name we pray, Jesus.